Amen. Amen and amen. That was from the camp meeting, wasn't it? I think that was a ukulele being played. Praise the Lord. If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on this Sabbath day. Thank you again for giving us all we need day by day, hour by hour, second by second, to stand firm in the truth. Thank you for giving us the courage we need to do that too, and the love, because the love would even supersede the courage if someone that comes against us is loved by us. But we love you first, Father. We love you most, even above family, because we know that's best. And it actually cuts hearts when people see that. And so please bless us even with even more love. And thank you for blessing us with the changing of the showbread and continuing to do so with your presence here as we gather for the regular sermon hour. We offer this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, now, this sermon, this part 12, if you will, I don't know how many parts I got left. Not that many, maybe three. I don't know. I'd have to look. But this is the prophecy that is stated, and this one alone, I think, moves a lot of people out of the Catholic Church, and I praise God for this one. The one about the beast that was is, the beast that was is not yet is, that opens the eyes of a lot of Protestants. But this one moves a lot of them out of the Catholic Church because their children are at risk. But not enough. I mean, nowhere near enough. But this is the prophecy that Daniel spoke of in Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, when speaking of the Roman Catholic Church. And if you're a student of prophecy, you know exactly that's what Daniel's talking about at this point. I actually outlined every single solitary verse and symbol of Daniel chapter 11 on the website. And it was done to try to help someone who believes in today's world, no less, that the king of the north is Islam instead of the Vatican. They don't seem to realize that the Vatican wrote the Quran and they control Islam. But still, even if they didn't, they're still, and always will be, the king of the north. So, but Daniel 11, verse 37 says this: neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. I'm not going to go into all the other aspects of this prophecy because I already have in regards. Oh, thanks, brother. I forgot to change the screen page. Thanks for reminding me because I always seem to forget this. Let's get off there and go to the study. Nope, we got to go. There we are. There's the notes. Thanks, Brother Warren. So, but like I was saying, you know, like, you know what, the popes don't regard the God of his fathers, you know, that's a baseline understanding of how Catholicism is not Christianity, it's paganism. And they don't regard any God, for that matter, other than Satan, for some strange reason. And the Pope does magnify himself above all. He insists on people, the media and the politicians calling him, and pastors. The Seventh-day Adventist Church calls him Holy Leader. They won't call him Holy Father. And yes, they have called him Holy Leader on camera more than once. And I do have videos about it. So, but the desire of women, not having the desire of women, a lot of people don't notice, especially Catholics. They just look at it as, oh, okay, some of these priests got a pedophile issue. Well, no, it's not some of them. It's 98% of them. Now, this is no big news for students of prophecy. But still, even today, many are unaware that the Vatican is not only 98% homosexual, and that was documented, by the way. I got a newsletter about it, a radio broadcast, and a video about it. and a newsletter, as a matter of fact. I'll get into that later. It's the newsletter is all about the Rome, you know, the homosexual agenda of Rome before it became popularized in American politics, and then long before Obama did what he did in making homosexual marriage legal. But not only is the Vatican 98% homosexual, they cultivate this perversion by their own dogma. I actually did a 10-minute video on this false doctrine of celibacy back in 2014. Nowhere else on earth has this prophecy been better fulfilled than in the Roman Catholic Church. The Vatican boldly declares in their own catechism books that they literally use to teach the children the following. And I don't think I put the link. Did I put the link in the notes? Yeah, on this one here. Yeah, it says celibacy is a renunciation of marriage implicitly or explicitly made for the more perfect observance of chastity by all those who receive the sacrament of orders in any of the higher grades. And then I say, if you want the entire document, check out the Catholic Encyclopedia, and I put the link. So absolutely every person on earth knows that the Roman Catholic priests, the bishops, the cardinals, and the popes are not married to women. It is also well known that the majority of these men are homosexual. And for more evidence supporting that fact, see my RCC and sex page in box 7 in the Catholic. It's in the bottom of the. Let me just scroll down here and show you what I mean. It's the first link there in the notes. So, but this homosexual group of men are the largest known gathering of women haters known to man. In fact, there is now documented evidence of their hatred in writing. And this is from, this is documentation from the Book of Amazing Facts, volume 1, page 69. And it's about a Roman Catholic monk by the name of Mihailo Tolotas. And this, I'm just going to read this excerpt that I got from this book. It says, this is probably the only healthy man in modern history who never saw the form or heard the voice of a woman. The monk Mihailo died in 1938 at the age of 82 in one of the monasteries atop Mount Athos in Greece. When his mother passed away during his birth, Mihailo was taken to Athos. Not once in his entire life did he leave his monastic colony, which for more than 900 years has strictly excluded all females, both animal and human. That's how much they hate the female gender, if you will. Now, can you imagine the graphic hatred of these men? That they would refuse an infant to ever grow up to see a woman? Can you imagine what they told this child as he grew up without any female influence or about a woman? If they said anything, I doubt they ever even said anything. Well, maybe they had to, because maybe some priest mentioned something in passing, and then he would have to say, "Oh, you know, what are you talking about?" You know, so they would have to go and explain things. But over the years, I have heard my fair share of twisted passages and strange doctrinal opinions that confirm the celibacy of the Roman priests. I mean, they take all sorts of stuff out of the Bible, way out of context, to try to say it's okay to do what they're doing. But all of them fall as easy as a house of cards with one simple passage in Timothy's writings. Well, Paul's letter to Timothy, rather. It's 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. It says, a bishop, that's also a pastor, if you will, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given hospitality, apt to teach. Now, I know that it is written in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 8 and 9, that Paul said this. He says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, because he was never married, right? But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And he's talking about burning with lust, right? So the Apostle Paul is telling them in the Bible that it is a better thing to stand alone so as to better concentrate one's walk with the Lord. I mean, verse 32 of that same chapter confirms this. But there will always be those, as verse 9 describes, they will burn with lust within themselves. Therefore, for them, it is better to marry. And then 1 Corinthians 7, verse 36 says, but if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. You know, Rome denies these facts. They openly deny the sanctity of marriage that was sanctified in the Garden of Eden. If they were to be biblical, at least some of their priests would be married, right? And the rest would be those that could stand alone if they didn't burn with lust, because that's the common denominator there. I mean, it's just, you're not going to get, you know, like say 1,000 men where one guy in the bunch is not going to have problems with the lust thing. There's no way they can convince anyone on planet Earth that 100% of these priests never had an issue with lust. It's just not feasible. It's impossible. But since many of them are as Daniel said they will be, where they're not going to have a desire for women anyway, they truly won't have an issue there in the first place. I mean, it's a proven fact. The Roman Catholic priesthood is not only the largest organized group of homosexuals known to man, they are the largest known group of men that have been judged worthy of the AIDS virus when it was at its peak. I remember getting a lot of flack about this when I did a newsletter on this and a radio thing. I still had the page on the website all about it called Catholic Priests and AIDS. Check out this article. And this came from the Kansas City Star. It's not the Star like the Inquirer. No, this is the Kansas City Star, kind of like the Chicago Tribune. And this is from the year 2000, January 29th. And the headline is Catholic Priests Dying of AIDS, Often in Silence. It says, the annualized death rate of priests confirmed by the Star to have died of AIDS in Kansas and Missouri from 1987 to 1999 is 7 per 10,000, or 7 times that of the general population. But it gets worse. That death rate is consistent with the rate calculated by the Star after reviewing death certificates of priests who died in California, Missouri, Massachusetts in 1995. The finding is 6 priests, or 7.3 per 10,000, died of AIDS in those states that year. The AIDS death rate of the general population in those three states in 1995 was 1.8 per 10,000. A.W. Richard Sipe, a former priest who has spent more than 30 years studying sexuality issues in the church, thinks that about 750 priests nationwide have died of such illnesses. And by the way, I did in the newsletter I did on this, on the radio broadcast I did on this, I also showed that they got caught faking death certificates to take the word AIDS off of it, talking of, you know, the complications that brought upon their death instead. And so they tried to hide the fact that they were dying of AIDS. And so it's probably a much higher number. So anyway, it goes on to say that that would translate into an AIDS-related death rate 8 times that of the general population. But now check out what this next guy says. It was Joseph Baroni, a New Jersey psychiatrist and AIDS expert, puts the number of the U.S. priests who have died of AIDS at 1,000, nearly 11 times the rate of the general population. And the church doesn't want to admit it. That's how they end the article. Well, yeah, I think that's how they ended the article. Or no, maybe that isn't. Well, I got a link there if you want the whole article on that. I think I left a link in there, didn't I? Wait, let me scroll. Yeah, I did. Okay, it's still in there. Let me get up to box 5 there now. So 11 times the rate of the general population of the U.S.? 11 times? Is this not an open and shut case as per the judgment upon them? Even if none of the prophecies that openly prove this church is being controlled by Antichrist were ever to be uttered, this decadent behavior alone should be proof enough for those loyal Catholics still trapped within the walls of this church to get out. These vile and literally putrid fruits of evil speak volumes into the Christian heart that this is not a church of Jesus Christ. Denial of this fact must end in the hearts. And it must end now. I mean, this church and its popes have been puffing up their chests, proclaiming itself. You know, the popes always say they're another god on earth. I got the actual quotes on my Words of a Beast page on the website. But they've been saying that there are another God on earth for so long that finally he has come to a place of open and apparent judgment before the eyes of man. And according to the book of Revelation, the open evidence of evil within this church is going to get even more graphic in the days to come. I mean, how long will this church of apparent evil pronounce they walk as Jesus Christ proclaimed his children should walk? How long will they torture, murder, molest, deceive, and destroy the innocent? How long shall these priests mock a mighty God, an ever-living God? Well, at the rate of 11 times the national average, not much longer. Now, I understand we got the AIDS cocktail out there to where some of these guys are living longer, and some actually found out about the real cure for AIDS, like the real cure for cancer and stuff like that, and they have survived, and they haven't died, you know, as of yet. You know, I'm assuming guys like Magic Johnson or that guy that played Starsky in Starsky and Hutch, he had AIDS. They're still alive. These guys have been, he had it for decades and decades. And so, but anyway, since I have been exposing Rome a little over 34 years now, I've come across the occasional priest or layperson that has insisted that if, in fact, the priest sought out marriage, Rome would not object. That's how they cover the bases on their thing, you know, because we all know that it's a blessed institution that was sanctified by our Lord in Eden. They say that it's just that the priests prefer celibacy. They, in fact, claim marriage is holy and sacred. In fact, not too long ago, I received an article from the Roman Catholic publication known as Zenit.org, Z like zebra, Zenit.org, regarding this. In this article of February 10, 2004, Roman Catholic Cardinal Edward Egan assailed the notion of homosexual marriage and criticized Hollywood for desecrating marriage and destroying something sacred and holy. And I have the article number. I think, did I put the article number in there? No, I don't think I've... No, I didn't. Anyway. I know this seems confusing for Rome to say in one breath that marriage is holy and sacred, and the next they say it's not for their priests. But prophetic fact is the God of Rome is, in fact, the author of confusion. They seek to appear holy so as to make all think they have no stake in this homosexual agenda. In fact, what occurred, you know, quite recently has blessed me with an open and shut case on Rome's hatred of the sanctity of marriage. Actually, this happened about 18 years ago. This cardinal lies when he said the Vatican embraces marriage, and now I can prove it. It happened in May of 2001. Roman Catholic Archbishop Emmanuel Malingo, he's the same guy that exposed the Vatican was having satanic services inside the Vatican, he married Korean acupuncturist Maria Sung. And then Reverend, you know, which is a blasphemous statement, by the way, some priest calls him, or a minister calls himself Reverend, Sung Young Moon officiated at the wedding. We all remember that guy. A lot of people remember that guy. Well, when the Vatican got wind of this, they threatened the archbishop with excommunication if he didn't divorce the woman at once. If I'm not mistaken, they did excommunicate him so as to get his attention. And this, of course, is regardless of the fact that Mark chapter 10, verse 9 says, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Malingo held out for as long as he could, but in August of that same year, he did finally renounce his marriage and left his wife behind so he could go back to Rome and regain his status as archbishop. But what about all those priests that claim Rome would never object if they decided to get married? Seems they clammed up all of a sudden. I mean, this amazed more than a few people, both in and outside of Rome. The Roman Catholic Church actually forced this man to divorce his wife, even though she did not do anything worthy of divorce. I mean, how can Cardinal Egan say that that Rome embraces marriage as something holy and sacred, and then force a man to divorce his wife because he's a priest? Does the prophetic word of God speak of a church as this? Again, yes. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and you'll see that. It says, in the latter days, not only will they depart from the faith and embrace doctrines of demons, they will forbid to marry. Why? Well, Satan hates the institution of marriage. It was instituted in Eden before sin entered the world. And by the way, this is also why Satan attacks the seventh-day Sabbath. It too was instituted before sin entered into the world. So the Sabbath has never changed, just like marriage has never changed. But 75% of the marriages now end up in divorce. And what is it? 95% of Christians keep Sunday holy. So you know where Satan's been hanging his hat. You know, but the Word of God is plain. If you seek to be a pastor or a bishop, as some call them, you must be the husband of one wife. Yet Rome says, no way. You're going to get excommunicated from the church if you marry a woman. However, do a little research and you will find that none of the child molesters that are behind bars right now, like Father Mayday from the Chicago area, he was one of the priests I knew when I was a kid. He molested somebody that I hold dear. Anyway, these guys are still... Well, he actually got out of prison about 5 years ago. He was in there for 44 years. But none of these child molesters that are behind bars right now for molesting children have ever been excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church as priests. Not even the ones convicted, last I checked. Yet they did commit hellish acts, and they were convicted of same. Archbishop Malingo committed no sin in getting married to the woman he loved and for doing as God sanctified he can do in the Garden of Eden. He is threatened by the Pope with excommunication. And so we know where their loyalty is. I mean, that alone says a lot about Rome's true intentions towards the homosexual lifestyle. This church is not even trying to hide their homosexual tendencies at this time. In fact, they are openly openly lobbying in favor of man-boy love the last 20 years. And this shocked a lot of people when I said this on the radio. And you wonder why I'm not on the radio anymore. But it says, this is the headline, pedophile advocate featured in Catholic Church concert. This was November 2nd, 2000. It was a LifeSite special report, whatever. It happened in Toronto. Let me see, do I need to scroll? I don't know, it's in one of these areas here. Oh, there's the first, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm good. This is the headline. Well, I already read the headline. This is what it says. It says, LifeSite has learned that on October 22nd, concert at St. Basil's Catholic Church in Toronto featured a composition by Gerald Hannon, Canada's leading advocate of intergenerational sex or pedophilia. Hannon was part of the choir, and he was applauded separately. So they puffed the guy up, right? So he was applauded separately after the piece by the musicians and those in attendance. Hannon is one of Canada's most outspoken defenders of pedophilia. In December of 1977, he published an article entitled Men Loving Boys, Loving Men, wherein he discussed favorably and explicitly homosexual sex acts with boys as young as 7 years of age. The article led to criminal charges, but Hannon was acquitted. So, yeah, the judges are in on it, too. Pizzagate, yeah, we know. Well, they'll say that's all fake news, but no, Pizzagate's legit. It's all part of Jeffrey, the Epstein guy, all his stuff. But this may seem still shocking to some, but it appears all those that at the Catholic concert had no problem applauding Canada's leading advocate in pedophilia. In fact, in France, we see this happening the very next year, almost the same month, a couple of months earlier. Headline, priest says pedophilia was good for children. And I double-checked on this to make sure this wasn't satire. Because I couldn't believe it. Because I did run across one where it turns out later it was satire, I had to pull it from the site. This was years and years ago, where the Catholic priest was saying that they got to blame the children because the children were, seducing the priest. And so, but they put the article together. This was back before anybody knew that satire was going to be an issue. Remember Onion when it first came out? A lot of people fell for that one. If we got problems in the text chat in the stream, let me know. I'll shut it down. Because we got a troll in there again, and there's nothing wrong with calling someone a troll. People get. Should I shut it down? Want me to shut down the text chat? Let me know here. Shut it down for now. Okay. Okay, it's paused. Oh, see, that doesn't surprise me at all, Brother Joe. The links, from what I'm hearing, are dead now from those articles from the Kansas City Star. But this is the norm for Catholicism, when they get their hooks in somebody, they tell them pull the article or archive it. That's not like the U.S. government does that a lot. You find a like a House bill or something, and you go, "Wow, you couldn't believe this! They even talk about guillotines," and so you put it on the site, right? Yeah, a couple of months later, they move. They still have the bill. It's still written. They still didn't delete it, but they just move it. So your link is dead. And then you look like an idiot. Make this, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. Well, we got the facts. But the way they keep spinning stuff, yeah, you can't keep up. It's kind of like what they did with Spirit of Prophecy. They changed so many of these books. People think some of the books they got might be safe, but they're not. So anyway, again, the headline, priest says pedophilia was good for children, September 4, 2001. This is from France. I can't pronounce the name of that newspaper, but it's something else here. I got the link in this one. Maybe this one's bogus link, too. Who knows? But anyway, a Roman Catholic priest on trial in his southern French town for failing to disclose the sexual abuse of minors has argued that the pedophilic acts that took place in his parish were actually good for the children. Father Hubert Beryl, 67, who heads the parish in the village of whatever, Vergent, I don't know, faces up to 5 years in prison if convicted on a charge of failing to assist a person in danger and failing to report a crime. Beryl had told one of the children that making love was a way of being in touch with God. And I apologize if there's any children in the room because I forgot about the way the content of some of these articles because these are old. But with all this in mind, I would like for you to recall all the pedophilia lawsuits that are popping up all over the world against Roman Catholic priests the last few decades, even to this day. Every time you turn around, there's a new nation that's dealing with it now. I can't remember the most recent one, but I remember Ireland came up a couple of years ago, and now there's something else going on. But it's gotten so bad that a gag order was placed on the media by an American judge regarding these lawsuits back when it got bad here from Boston, if you remember when the Boston thing started. And people ask, well, why did he put a gag order? Well, it's common sense. If the Catholic people knew just how bad it really was, they would have to close a lot more than just 80 churches in the Boston area like they had to do when this all started. 80? That's a lot of churches. But then Boston's a big city. All this courtroom activity is causing such a drain on the Vatican finances that it is obvious they are in trouble. This is why some other things started happening recently, but I'm not going to get into that. They know that if this continues much longer, they will be shut down permanently. So what can they do to either lessen the dollar amounts on the lawsuits or get them to drop altogether? Some of you already know where I'm going with this. The answer is, in fact, moving society to legalize homosexual marriage. And that is exactly what they did in America. And now nearly every nation on earth is following suit, just like they'll do with Sunday laws. It'll start here first and it'll go global. Homosexuality started here first. It's going global. Every nation that has diplomatic ties with the Vatican has either legalized homosexual marriage or is currently working towards it. In my February 2004 Truth Provided newsletter, it's in box 7, by the way, of the notes. Let me as well scroll it up since we already covered that one. But I not only show how this all started, I also have many videos and articles showing everyone from how they found that 98% of the Vatican prelates are practicing homosexuals to the Vatican, to where the Vatican actually owning and operating homosexual brothels down the street from the Vatican. That was on the news a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, and boy, it just suddenly disappeared. It's still out there. A lot of people don't know this either. The majority, I think it's upwards of 80% now, of real estate that is owned in San Francisco, the homosexual capital of the world, is owned by the Vatican. Well, the prelates in the Vatican, not the Vatican. Well, the Vatican proper, especially when the priest dies, they will everything to the Vatican anyway. It's just the way they do. Everything is just pillage to them. But the thing is, they literally got caught with those brothels down the street from the Vatican so that the prelates in Rome can have a place to go. It's that exposed now. It's prophecy said, you know, about the man of sin being known in the last days. And that newsletter that I just mentioned from February 2004, is updated regularly to show how all this decadence progressed to the point it has today, to the point where it's legalized now. As Jesus said, we will see what Noah and Lot saw regarding homosexuality right before he comes, right before he returns. So Jesus said what he said in Luke 17, I believe it was, about men marrying women and then, or no, men marrying wives and then giving in marriage. Why do you repeat that? Well, it's because of what happened in Noah's day. When homosexual marriage went global, that was it. That's when the Lord said, okay, here comes the flood. And so when Jesus said what he said, he was talking about men marrying wives, and then men given in marriage means other than wives marrying each other. And so, but still, some may be wondering how homosexual marriage is going to help Rome out of this mess. Well, think about it. Before homosexual marriage, you have lawsuits that are legally very offensive and more or less a slam dunk whenever they're brought into a courtroom. But with homosexual marriage legalized, you open a door of perversion in the laws of the land. And that now they can accept and allow for some leeway. So you can see how the devil worked this all out. He was first of all going to have everybody in the Vatican homosexual. Then he was also going to make sure that it was the mother of politics, because that's what it's always been. I mean, Daniel 11, more or less spearheaded that reality. Rome had to have the political as well as the religious end of things. That's why Napoleon was moved by the Lord to do what he did with General Berthier in 1798. And so, but if you've ever listened to my old Truth Provided audio clips from 2003, I got a link in box 7 again, you would know that Rome needs to push the homosexual agenda forward so as to help them out of these looming financial disasters. Because regardless of the laws are passed or not, what they were doing was illegal at the time the act was committed. So it's kind of like backwards technology for computers. You're still guilty because those laws were on the books at the time you broke them. But the leeway's there now. So now instead of slamming the jail door, they might just get a slap on the wrist and a major fine. You know the fines are still going to be there. These civil lawsuits is what, you know, that's why the Vatican is doing what it's doing, because they know even if the priest doesn't end up in jail, they're going to lose money, a lot of it. And since the Roman Catholic scandal regarding the vulgar and sickening act of child molestation, I've noticed a political blitzkrieg in the media regarding homosexuality the last two decades. I mean, articles on almost every topic concerning the positive aspects of homosexual lifestyle have flooded into the media. And I'm not even going to touch on what the schools in America are teaching now. I've got a homeschool Spurs page, you know, Spurs where you kick the horse to get them moved forward. Yeah, get your kids out of them. This is a spur to get you to homeschool. You see what they're teaching the kids. That's why when the kids come out, they believe in socialism, they don't believe in Christianity, and they're confused. Should I be, you know, homosexual? Should I be heterosexual? Or should I just swing both ways? The kids are confused. That's how they're being raised and brainwashed. And so, but I, like I said, articles on almost every topic about the positive aspects of this strange lifestyle, it's all over the media. And directly after Canada allowed its sexual, you know, the homosexual marriages, I reported in an audio clip on those Truth Provided audio clips that we should be watching Rome and their pedophilia problem more closely now. The thing is, and as usual, Rome will get her problem fixed by hiding behind governing, you know, officials doing her dirty work like she did during the Inquisition. And that's why it worked so well for literally 1,260 years, just like the prophecy said. They killed 500 million Christians. And this is how Hitler worked as well. That's why he worked so well in the beginning. You know. And this is now how the U.S. government has been doing so well with their decadence in the last few decades. I mean, case in point, less than a week after homosexual marriage announcement in Canada was legalized, you saw this happen in the United States of America. And this is the last article I'm going to read. And this is from July 12th. I guess. Where did the other one come from? 2000? I think it was 2000. New York Times reported on this one. The headline says, "Victims angered and upset by ruling freeing molesters." Check it out. It's from Los Angeles. It says, George Neville Rucker, an 82-year-old former Roman Catholic priest, was on a two-month cruise off the Aleutian Islands in Alaska when the authorities said his past finally caught up with him. But this week, before any evidence was presented to a jury, Mr. Rucker walked out of a court a free man. He is among perhaps hundreds of people in California. And they did this more than once, by the way. I couldn't believe it was like two or three times they did this. With hundreds and hundreds of people. They're just emptying the prisons because of their overcrowding or whatever was their excuse. But he is among perhaps hundreds of people in California who are being freed from trial or jail as a result of a United States Supreme Court ruling on June 26 overturning a 1993 California law that allowed charges against child molesters protected by a previous deadline on prosecutions. State officials said that the decision affected as many as 800 people accused of sexual offenses or already convicted. The ruling and the release of the offenders has infuriated victims and frustrated prosecutors. We're still licking our wounds here, said William Hodgman, head of a sexual crimes unit of Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. Conservatively, we have over 200 impacted cases in L.A. County alone, with the prospect of it going higher. That's just one county. He added, without question, there will be established child molesters free from custody and allowed to go back into the communities from whence they came. And, by the way, I didn't add this to, I didn't put this in the article, but or add it to their comments, but they don't have to register as sex offenders either. Off the chart, you know. But can anyone see what is transpiring here? Absolutely every person in the United States of America that has access to a television, a radio, the internet, or even a newspaper knows that the Roman Catholic Church is the sole beneficiary of such a horrendous law as this. Only Rome is going to benefit by legalized perversion, because they're the ones that have the biggest stake in the matter. They have the largest known collection of homosexual men on the planet, and they are still molesting children. So they're the ones that are going to win the most on this. Yeah, your occasional pervert down the road is going to, you know, benefit from this, but nowhere near. That's going to be a fraction compared to all those priests. And so, but it's truly Rome. They're just being blessed by their, if you want to call it that, by their dying god of this world. Literally thousands of lawsuits across this nation prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt. You would have to be literally dead or in a coma to miss this simple reality. The largest organized group of child molesters is, in fact, Roman Catholic priests, just as the prophet Daniel said they would be. So please pray for them, because the fact of the matter is plain. As that brainwashed monk who never saw a woman, many of the priests in the Roman Catholic Church probably don't even know what they're doing is sinful, let alone dangerous. And so keep praying for them. They may not be reprobates yet. Could you imagine if one of them was like a Luther and he was converted back to reality, got out of the Catholic Church, and then was a whistler on it? He just blew the whistle, and oh, that would be amazing. But that's not even necessary, because Jesus Christ is going to take care of all this when he splits that eastern sky. They think they're, you know, hiding stuff under the rug. But especially at the end of the 1,000 years, when that judgment goes down, everybody's going to know what they did. You know, you think that, for those of you that think that it's embarrassing to confess your sins now, even though you committed those sins before your Lord, so confess them now. It's just stupid to think, oh, I don't want to confess it. It's so too embarrassing to confess. Look, you're not going to a priest to confess. Yeah, I don't understand that being embarrassing. You're going to your Lord to confess the sin you committed. So it doesn't, he saw you commit it. So I think that's a little bit more embarrassing. But there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, keep that stuff, their little skeletons in the closet, and don't tell anybody about it, including Christ. And it's all going to be shouted from the rooftops one day. But the fact of the matter is, yet another prophecy has shown, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Vatican, the church and state of the Roman Catholic Church, is in fact home to Antichrist. And there's really nothing much else to say other than next week is part 13. And part 13 is going to be those that Antichrist persecutes are going to go into hiding during a 1,260-year tribulation. Afterwards, though, they will resurface. And that is what next week's, unless, of course, the Lord gives me something else to preach, but that is part 13. So pray you are blessed.